I want to speak to you today again in a theme that I started many weeks ago, and that sort of interrupted a little bit with our travels, but I feel to continue with that theme because it seems to be a theme that God is pressing very much in this time for His people. And many of you have felt that burden. And I think because it is a dangerous time, a time of change, a time of a new season, which means change. When we were in France, many, many pastors were giving thanks to God that 2011 was finally over, because one of the most difficult years that they had experienced. So they were so thankful, and I said, well, I want to tell you that 2011 is not over yet, because we're not in a changing of years, we are in a changing of seasons. And when we are change of seasons, things take a little longer, a few years to switch over to the new how can you best express this, to the new thing that God is doing. The new paradigm would be the perfect word to describe what God is doing, where a new set of things, where things change, and now the objects change within a paradigm. And so before things fall in their place, it'll probably be another couple years before we finally get back to the new normal. It won't be the old normal, but it will be a new normal. And between the old normal and the new normal, there's always a time of you'll find out. But in this time of changing of paradigms, changing of seasons, it's a time of much opportunity, but also of much danger. And that's why I think God is calling His people to prayer. God has always wanted to hear us pray, and prayer has always been an important part of our life, ministry, and doctrine, if you would have it as such. But at this time specifically, God is in many ways speaking to some of you in your hearts, putting a special burden of prayer that you didn't have before. Because it is such a special, dangerous time, it's a time where we need to be watchful. It's a time that we need to pray as we never have before, because of these changes. We must be attentive. We must have our ears open. We must have our communication open with God. And so I'd like to continue with a few more things. Last time we spoke about prayer, I spoke to you how many people is it necessary to cause change, to affect. Sometimes we think, well, if we had 100,000 people praying the same thing, then maybe things will change. But last time I showed you how, according to the scriptures, it's not the multitudes that changes things, but minorities that change things. And as far as prayer is concerned, it's not the prayer of a multitude that will affect change, but it's the prayer of God's children. And we have seen that the prayer of a few can change the destiny of nations. You all know our history, and we know that our history was changed by a few people that we call our forefathers, a few people that determined the future of our nation as we know it now. And also now a few people are affecting a change, and there's not the multitude of Americans that are affecting this change, but a few that have power they are changing and affecting multitudes. And prayer is that power of a few that affects in the same way, affects the destiny of nations. And there's several things that we need to know to be able to understand why it's necessary for us to pray. And why not just sit back and say, well, let God's will be done. One of the scriptures I used in my series of prayer was in Romans 8, where it says that the Spirit that knows the heart of God and the will of God intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, that we don't know what to pray as we ought. But just to sit back and say, well, kissara, sara, whatever will be, I guess God will do what he has to do. But for some reason, God wants to involve his people in his church. And we went through some scriptures showing how that current events can be changed by prayer. There's things where it can go either way. And if we pray, if we ask, it can go one way. If we don't, it can go another way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12, Solomon had been praying. It doesn't tell us what he was praying. He was just praying. And one day God came to him and revealed to him a very astonishing thing that he didn't know, and since then the world knows now. And that is, it says, 2 Chronicles 7:12. It says, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And then he said this amazing thing. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. This is amazing. Because he says, if I shut up the heavens so it doesn't rain, God caused this to happen. He said, if I command the locusts to come and devour the land. What happens when the locust comes? The locust devours the crops. That's the economic machine. The crops give work to workers. The crop gives money to the farmer. The crops, especially in those times, was the motor of the economy. Agriculture was the motor of the nation's economy. They didn't have factories. They had a few productions. They produced things. They made carts for horses, and they had blacksmiths and stuff like that. But the economy was major on agriculture. And so God is saying, if I bring everything to a halt, if there's no rain, that affects, of course, so many things. Not only for drinking, it affects, especially affects the crops. Because there was two major rains that God had promised. The former rain and the latter rain. The first was the rain they needed when they planted. And the second was the one they needed to make the harvest grow before it was harvested. And God said, if ever I command it not to rain. Now, the astonishing thing is that we should say, well, God made the rain to stop. He must have a reason. God God made the economy to suffer, there must be a reason. God did it. What am I going to do? Come up and stop God and say, God, stop? And the amazing thing that even though he says, I have shut up the heavens, sent the locust, sent even sickness, pestilence. There's so many types of pestilence, from depression to what have you. If my people humble themselves, repent, and pray, I will hear and I will heal the land. Did you hear that? God did it, but he said, we can stop it. So we can either sit back and say, well, I mean, God's going to do what he's got to do. Or we can repent, come back to God, seek his face. He said, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal. So God revealed that things that have happened can be changed, because the land already was affected by the locust, by the dryness, and by the pestilence. So things that already had happened, they can be reversed. And then in the next verse, he also says something amazing. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. In other words, God's saying, I have an open channel. I'm listening. You can pray or not pray. You can ask or not ask. You can intercede or no intercede. But I'll be listening. Just in case you decide to pray. Another amazing thing, I mentioned Elisha in the past, in James chapter 5, verse 17, where he prayed that it might not rain. And then he prayed again and God gave rain. If my people will humble themselves, repent and pray, and seek my face, I will change the climate. That's all right. He just wants to play with the angels. You know, little kids can see things we can't. He said, it normally rained in April and September. That was the first former latter rain. That was normal. Suddenly, he says, there was climate change. Things changed. The world's been talking a lot about global warming. Now they're talking about global cooling. But you know, they're not all that wrong, because there is and is going to be great climate extremes and changes. I mean, Jesus predicted that too, so I'm not going off on a limb here. He said, as the time comes close to my coming, you will see these things. Great earthquakes provoking tsunamis, changes in the climate. We're going to see extreme climate changes. We're seeing it already, but expect to see it even more. What can we do? God says, if there is a change of climate, if you pray, you can change it. I know you think I'm... Jesus, stopped a storm, didn't he? He stopped the wind. In other words, there is an affecting of even climate by God's people. I have been in several occasions and talked with Carlos Anacondia and seen him pray and seen the thunderstorm praying raining all around us and not in the place where the campaign was. He's done that several times. He has prayed for the rain to stop. I shared with you that time when the hurricane's path to a certain place in Florida and Benny Hinn's brother was changed, the path, so it would not go where it wanted to go. And that was done by intercession and prayer. Elijah changed the climate. He was subject to passions such as we were, but as he prayed earnestly, first that it might not rain, and it did not rain. Now, when he prayed for it to rain, it was dry, right? He prayed 7 times for it to rain. He prayed, and it was dry. He prayed, and it was dry. He prayed, and it was dry. And pray, and finally a cloud appeared. So it was probably the same when he prayed for it not to rain. It was raining. He said, stop. Stop until I tell you to. And if he had to pray 7 times for it to start raining, he probably had to pray more than just once, a little passing prayer. Oh, stop rain. We don't know, but it was probably a process similar to that. He had to intercede and said, for the climate to change. And the climate changed. For 3.5 years, it did not rain. Now, Elijah was aware of the words that God could change the climate if his people prayed. He prayed again, and it began to rain. The earth brought forth fruit. How long was it? 3.5 years. And how do you think the economy was during those 3.5 years? In Israel. Huh? Quite bad, right? How long would it have been if Elijah would not have prayed for it to stop? Any suggestions? Until Elijah prayed, it didn't start raining. In other words, he stopped the process of that change of climate that affected the economy of Israel with prayer. Because he said, it's going to last as long as until I pray, didn't he? He said that to King Ahab. It'll last as long as until I pray. He said it in other words, he says, until I say so. Thank God he prayed. Thank God he believed that his prayer could make a difference. So events can be changed by prayer. Even climate can be changed. You've heard me say this before when I was a little child. And seeing that tornado come right towards our house and our family standing right in front of that big glass window. And my father saying to my trembling mother, where she says, shouldn't we go hide, Ed? He said, no. It's not going to touch us. And I remember I was just a little kid. My brother Robert and Marilyn was there. We were all there huddled by this big glass window watching this funnel dark cloud coming right towards us and pieces of trees going up. I didn't understand what it was about. I was little. But I do remember what I saw. It came to within 100 yards, the edge of the property, actually, of Panayal there in Mar del Plata. And then I saw the thing go up into the clouds. And then I heard a boom. And we ran to the other side of the house, which also had windows. And the neighbor's house right across from the street was completely destroyed. And I said, cool. Of course, I was just a little kid. But now I said, wow. How did my father know that that thing was going to go up and would not touch our property? So, things can be changed. Climate can be affected. The consequences can be of things that are happening can be changed. Events that can happen can also be changed so they do not happen. Okay, first we saw things that are happening. Okay, they can be changed, they can be shortened. Jesus said of the times of persecution that would come, tribulations, he said they can be shortened because of the prayer of God's elect. But now, in Psalm 106 and verse 23, I told you about the time that it says, therefore he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Okay. Here was God's people. They had fallen in sin. They had disobeyed God. They had turned to their idols. And Moses saw that there was a breach in the wall and God was coming to destroy Israel because of their sin. It hadn't happened yet. The people were blissfully unaware. They were having their little festival and their little things with Baal and all this. And they were totally unaware of the danger they were in. There was something terrible that was about to happen. And Moses was able to see God coming with that great destruction that was about to happen. It had not happened yet. So it says that Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. In other words, he stood before God and said, God, have mercy. They deserve to be destroyed. But God, have mercy. Remember when he went up the mountain? He said, if I have found grace in your sight. He said, God, have mercy. He stood there in that breach, that hole in the wall, where that destruction was about to come through. And he stood there and said, if you must come through, destroy me. But please, have mercy. Let this event that's about to happen not happen. The people were blissfully unaware that they were about to go through this terrible, terrible destruction. Blissfully unaware. Moses wasn't. He saw it coming. How did he see it coming? Because God said, there has not been a prophet like this man Moses because I speak to him face to face. So Moses knew, because God had revealed to him that this terrible thing was going to happen, was on its way, was programmed to come. And Moses stood in the breach. He cried out for God to have mercy for what was supposed to happen, not to happen. And it didn't happen. Was it a false prophecy? No, it wasn't. Another example. Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh and tell them that I am going to destroy that nation, that city-state. And so, he didn't want to go for other reasons. We won't go into now. But he later sat under a tree and got mad at God. He got so mad that God had to come and say, why did you get mad? And he said, because I knew. I knew what was you were going to do would not happen, because they would all start. You see what happened when Jonah was vomited out on the beach. Actually, what it seems to be that he resurrected on the beach. Why? Because Jesus said, in the same way that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be. So if it's the same way, most probably Jonah was vomited onto the beach. People came to gather this bleached out guy. I mean, 3 days in acid, you do the numbers. Okay, this bleached out guy with no hair, lying there on the beach, suddenly he comes to life and he starts saying, behold, the Lord God is going to destroy Nineveh. Can you imagine the people in panic running back to the king, said, oh my God, this guy resurrected from the dead and he told us we're going to be destroyed. What can we do? So the king said, let us repent and fast. Don't even give the animals to eat. So the poor cows and chickens, nobody ate. They fasted and they prayed, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Do you know what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. This guy comes and says, God's going to destroy you. They all get scared and pray, and nothing happens. Or did it? God says, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. Then nothing happens. Was that a false word that Jonah gave? What do you think? Was it not ever going to happen? No, it was going to happen. And they were saved because they cried out, God have mercy. So, events that are going to happen can be stopped from happening. People like the children of Israel can be blissfully unaware what they just were spared from. But God and those that stood in the breach know why it didn't happen. Jonah knew why Nineveh was not destroyed. So, things that are happening can be changed. And things that are about to happen can be stopped so they will not happen. That is what it is to stand in the breach. Intercede before God. To change his mind. That's an awesome thought. You know, he said to Solomon, if I do this, you can change my mind. You see all this destruction come upon your life. Maybe because of sin. Can your destiny be changed? Can your life be changed? You know, the majority of the people that come to God have a testimony their life's been changed. Their life was on the road to destruction. Alcohol, drugs, illegal everything, broken marriages, broken health, broken everything. And so when they had no other way out, what do? Someone says, well, why don't you come to church? Now, when everything was going fine, they go to church. That's for stupid people. But suddenly, it's not so stupid anymore. Suddenly, all these things happen to me. I'm going to say, well, maybe as a last resort, I'll go. Please, God, have mercy on me. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Did your life change? Yes. It all got turned around. All that destruction, all that pain, which most of it was self-inflicted because of rebellion against God and sin and the consequence of sin. God doesn't even have to say, I'm going to do something bad to you. The consequence of what we do is enough. So what do? We come to God and we pray. We repent. Please forgive me my sins. I'm sorry. I promise I won't do it again. Cross my fingers and cross my legs and cross everything I got, even my eyes. God says, you probably will sin again, but I'll take that as valid. Please forgive me my sins. And he does. Please help me. And he does. And your life is changed. How was it changed? Because if my people called by my name will humble themselves, and it is humbling, you know, to come to a place where people are more crazy. I mean, I got problems, but they're more crazy than I am. You know, the pastor says he hears voices. God speaks to him. You know, he spoke to me this morning. He hears voices. He sees things sometimes. Now, if that's not the definition of crazy, the definition of someone that should be in some institution, right? But if you humble yourself, you turn from your wicked ways and you repent and you pray. So you did. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? Did your life change? Of course it did. So events can be changed by the prayer of a heart that has repented and is clean. What an awesome thought. That you can change the mind of God with prayer. To stand in the gap. To stand in the gap. Rend your heart and not your garments. Joel 2:13. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Wow. Wow. What if all that's about to happen to us can be changed? What a thought. What a thought. What if everything that we know is going to happen can be changed. If God can turn because His people ask Him to have mercy, to not listen to what they say, to not see what they do, to not hear what they teach, but for His name's sake, because He is great in love, who knows? Verse 14, if He will turn and repent and leave a blessing. So blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Don't give your heritage to reproach, so that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, behold, I will send you corn, wine, oil, and I will no longer make you reproach among the heathen. What if prayer could change that which is about to happen? What a thought. Here's another thought. Not only things that are about to happen can be stopped from happening, not only things that are happening can be changed, but events can be delayed or prolonged or extended by prayer. In Isaiah chapter 38, it tells us of a prophet that went into the king, and he said to him, King, get your house in order, for God says you're going to die. Wow. Can you imagine that? Thus saith the Lord God, and he was a well-known prophet, you're going to die, so get your house in order, make your will, because that's it. Goodbye. See you later, baby. And down the hall he left. He had not gotten out of the palace. I don't know how big the palace was, but he was walking out of the palace, and as he was walking out, God speaks to him again. And in Isaiah 38:5, he says, go back and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I heard your prayer, I saw your tears. You will not die, but I will give you another 15 years of life. When the king Hezekiah heard that God told him he was going to die, he began praying and crying with such depth. I mean, he didn't fast 3 days. He didn't pray for 20 hours. It was just minutes that it took the prophet to walk out of the palace. But it was so deep, his cry to God, oh my God, please, please, please. It says with tears, crying out to God for mercy. God heard in that short walk and extended his execution. for 15 years. So yes, crying out to God can delay. We remember what happened in 2004. How God delayed and gave us 4 years to protect the church. Remember that? The church in America. So events can be delayed or prolonged or extended by prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Events can be changed. By one person. How much more if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. God does listen. But so many times we are in a passive state before God. We say, well, tell people, oh, you got a problem, well, come to church. Okay, you come to church. That will not change anything. Coming to church is a good step because you'll be able to hear what you have to do. But coming to church won't change your life. But if you cry out to the Lord, that will change your life. If you cry out, God, have mercy on me. Forgive me, heal me, change my life. That will have an effect that will change or will stop the destruction or will change the course or will delay or will prolong your life. Like it did Hezekiah. Because God is a God that hears, that listens, and that hears. And He is a God that answers. The prayers, when they come from the depths of the heart. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Prayer does change things. Oh, that God might cause us to become proactive. Now, it's not just sit back and wait for see what's going to happen, but to take a proactive attitude. You know, say, I am going to do something. I'm going to act. I mean, if it's going to happen, let it happen. But I am going to act. If God says, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to say, God, have mercy. Who knows? Who knows if that cry from your heart will change your life, your family, your hope, your home, and your history forever? And you know, if something inside of you moves to say, hey, did I just hear things can be changed? Did I just hear prayer is not a passive thing, but prayer can actually change things? Did I hear that? If you heard that and something inside clicked and something inside say, hey, wait a minute. Maybe. Then maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe God has told you inside, ask me, I'm going to do it. Rise up. I am waiting to hear you ask. I'm waiting to hear you cry out. I'm waiting for you to repent. I'm waiting for you to say, I'm sorry. I'm waiting for you to humble yourself. I'm waiting for you to lift up your voice. Like Bartimaeus, right by the road, that stood up and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, the people said, hey, hush up. You're in church, man. You're not supposed to do that in church. I wish you would. I won't be offended if you stand up right now and start crying out to God for mercy to change your life and to change your history. I won't tell you to hush up. How desperate are you for things to change? How much will it take for you to say, enough, 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 God, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on America. How desperate are we for change? You have heard and God has told us what is going to happen. But I believe that our God that controls everything in this earth can also change things on this earth. I believe that one day, perhaps even the prayers of your children will stop tsunamis, will stop hurricanes, will stop earthquakes. I believe that there's going to be a generation that's going to arise, and I hope it arises before the time of our children comes. I hope us as parents can come into that time and give an example to our children and say, God can change things. And His word is true. His word is true. It's not my opinion. It's written in His word. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Oh, we saw the difference as we ministered in France because of your prayers. May that encourage you to say, hey, that worked. Wow, who would have known? Wow, I wonder if we can stick it another step. I wonder if with the same faith that we had that God could do this, if God could place in your heart another little challenge until your faith begins to grow. And one day we can begin to pray that what is to happen can be changed or can be delayed or can be shortened so we don't go through 10 years of what's supposed to come, but we only go through 1 or 2 or 6 months. What will determine the change? God's people will.